Okay, here we go. And back by popular demand, she's been a friend of mine for a long, long time. One of the most brilliant doctors, healers, physicians, and surgeons of our time, Dr. Lorraine Day, who is a prolific writer, author, and truth teller. And she has a new book out. Let's start by naming the book and telling everyone where they can get it. And then we'll jump into this. We're going to talk tonight a little bit about the geopolitical aspect of the horrible conspiracy to obviously depopulate much of the planet and more. Hello, Lorraine. Welcome back.
Hi. Thanks a lot, Jeff. It's good to be back.
Yeah.
Yes, I have actually two new books out. One came out a year ago. It's called The Deliberate Destruction of America and the World.
That's the one.
It's a large book. It contains 30 years of my research ever since I woke up during the AIDS epidemic and saw what was going on in the government and the world. And then I have another new book that just came out last week called Germs Don't Cause Disease Any More Than Flies Cause Garbage. So I have two of those books, and I thought maybe tonight we could talk about not only the political aspect of what's going on, but all of the lies that even other supposed truth tellers are not telling. Nobody ever asks, how do you know that a certain germ causes a certain disease? How can you prove it? And people don't realize that there is no way to prove it. When I was in medical school 50 years ago, it was the microbiologist said the Koch's postulates were the absolute gospel on proving that a certain germ caused a certain disease. Mm-hmm. However, the first postulate is that everybody who has the germ has to have symptoms. Well, that was thrown out when Koch, spelled K-O-C-H, when he was first making these postulates, because mm-hmm. people have HIV and they're not symptomatic. People have COVID and they're not symptomatic. People have hepatitis B virus and they're not symptomatic. So they had to throw the first postulate out immediately. The second one was that you isolated that particular virus or bacteria. Well, it turns out that almost no viruses have actually been isolated, including COVID-19. The Centers for Disease Control admits they have never isolated the COVID-19 virus, all right? So there's the second postulate of Koch's that has to be thrown out. The third one is that you re-inject it into another creature, and that creature has to get the disease. Now, they said, well, it's not ethical to inject it into a human being, so it's got to be put into an animal. But then that doesn't tell you whether a human being will get it. So the third postulate had to be thrown out. And then the fourth one was that you had to isolate it again from the second creature that was injected. So it turns out that none of the postulates will prove anything. And when I was talking recently to a doctor who went to medical school 30 years after I did, and I said, well, what did they teach you about Koch's postulates? They'd never heard of them. So the answer
really?
Is that they...
You just never heard of them?
Never heard
That's
of them.
That's a shocker.
Never heard of them. A doctor. So the point is that they say that a certain germ causes a certain disease because they say so, there's no proof, and you can't question it.
Okay.
Which is
point well made. Point well made. Let's turn the coin over. What disease, bacterially induced, whatever, can fit Koch's postulates?
None.
Can any?
None. And here's the thing. We're told that diseases are caused by genes and germs. It's either in your genes, you know, your parents, somebody in your family had cancer or heart disease, and therefore you're going to
get predisposed. It.
No, but that's not right either, because you learn how to live, eat, and handle stress by watching your parents. So if you live, eat, and handle stress the same way they do, you'll probably get the same diseases. It's not passed down in the genes. Almost no genetic disease are known, all right? There are a few. They account for less than 0.1% of deaths per year in the world.
You're talking about the entire reinvention, my dear, of medicine.
Yes, I am. I am.
Yeah.
So there are no genetic diseases that really cause death. Heart disease, you get by the way you live, eat, and handle stress. Cancer, you get by the way you live, eat, and handle stress. It is not in the genes. So germs, by the way, everybody knows we have 100 trillion bacteria in our colon. They are good bacteria. By the way, 50 years ago, again, when I was in medical school, nobody ever heard of the microbiome. Nobody ever heard of it, okay? So now everybody knows about it, and you see, if you don't have a good microbiome, you go and buy the microbiome of a cow. That's called probiotics. You buy a cow, or they're now doing fecal transplants, where they give you a new one from somebody else's species, which is pretty disgusting.
That sounds a little dicey to me, doesn't it, with you talking about... Yeah, go ahead.
But the point is, we have 100 trillion bacteria in our colon. There are 30,000 different kinds of bacteria, but guess what? Hmm. They say less than 100 of them cause disease. Really? Wow. Well, how about all the rest? And how do you tell a good bacteria from a bad bacteria? Well, they don't know.
No, you ask them.
Here's what they say. Here's what they say. They say, when you live, eat, and handle stress wrong, you don't cause disease. You don't cause disease. What you do is you affect the bacteria in your colon, and they turn on you, and they cause disease.
That's the new line?
That's the way they do it. That's the new line. The new line. They also say the same thing about your genes. They say, you don't cause disease by the way you eat, live, and handle stress. When you do that wrong, it causes your genes to change, and they turn on you and cause disease. You see?
Who's saying this?
This is
a medical
whole new
school?
Field of called epigenetics.
Epigenetics.
And that's why the BRCA gene with breast cancer, is, you know, it changes and it turns on you. But that's all wrong. And
BRCA 1, BRCA 2.
But germs don't cause disease. They're your friends. Actually, we produce them in our body. Here's another thing they don't understand. And that is, they say, well, where does the microbiome come from? And it says, well, when a baby is born and it passes through the birth canal, that's where it gets the bacteria for the microbiome. Okay, so then you say, well, if a child is born by cesarean section, where do they get it? Because they don't come through the birth canal. Oh, well, they get it from breastfeeding. Okay, well, then what if a baby who is born by C-section doesn't breastfeed?
Doesn't breastfeed,
well, we don't know. We don't know.
Come back next month and ask us.
The answer is we make our own bacteria. And Beauchamp, who was the antagonist of Pasteur, Pasteur was the one who said the germ is everything and the milieu, the immune system, is nothing. Whereas Beauchamp said, no, the germ is nothing. It is the immune system that's everything. And he showed that we produce what he called microzyma, which were small little bodies that would become bacteria or yeast to clean up the mess. You see, on the face of the earth, we have pigs and rats and insects, and what do? They clean up the earth. We have vultures. And as I show in the first chapter...
Maggots.
Right. In the first chapter of my book, Germs Don't Cause Disease Any More Than Flies Cause Garbage, I show just because you're there doesn't mean you did it. If you see firemen at a major fire, did the firemen cause the fire? No, they're there to clean it up. If you see EMTs at a major traffic accident, did they cause it? No, they're there to clean up the mess. If you see flies and rats at a garbage pile, did they cause the garbage pile? No. They're there to clean up the mess. If we didn't have scavenger animals on the earth would be uninhabitable because everything that died would just stay there. You see, they're there to clean up the mess. The vultures are there to clean up the dead creatures and all that. Well, our body is designed the same way. We have a whole scavenger system in our body, and guess what it's called? bacteria. They clean up the mess. They are there to clean up the mess. And just because they are found in an area of disease, then medical scientists say, oh, it's there. It must have caused it. So that's the cause of the disease. That's like saying flies cause garbage. Do you see?
I follow exactly what you're saying. This is so revolutionary. It takes right. Rockefeller medicine and turns it on its ear.
Of course.
I don't know what. And Big Pharma, the whole system has been designed, in my view, to degrade human health. I don't see any other way to look at it.
To kill us.
Yeah. And it's been going on for a long time.
Here's another very important thing. In the late 1800s, a Russian scientist did an experiment on tobacco leaves. Tobacco was a major product at that time, and some tobacco leaves were showing signs of disease. So what he wanted to do was to see if a bacteria caused that disease. So he ground up the leaves that were infected, and he put them in water, and he drained them through a sieve that would keep the bacteria out. So all he had was a chemical, all right? So he put that on healthy leaves, and they became sick. So he said, it's a poison. It's a poison. It is not a bacteria. It is a poison. And he was right. Okay? Now, poisons are things like strychnine and things like that. They're not microorganisms. They're not a bacteria or anything like that. They are poisons. So then a fellow at the Rockefeller Institute in the 1940s repeated that, and he found the same thing. So he said, it's a poison. However, do you know what the word for poison is in Latin? And they always want to use Latin so they'll sound erudite and distinguished. You know what the word is?
Pharmakia, isn't it?
No, it's virus.
Oh, interesting. I've heard that. That's right.
It's virus. Okay? The word poison in Latin is virus. So when he said it's a poison, they would use the term virus, but virus does not mean a microorganism. It just means a poison. But because they could say, oh, now we have morphed a poison into a germ. You see what I mean?
I follow you. Now, I've also spent, like you have, a lot of time studying Royal Rife and his research and how he would grind up a breast tumor, for example, with a mortar and pestle. A little tiny, just grind it up into a paste and then pass it through a very, very fine porcelain filter, inject the liquid into female rats in their abdominal area, breast area, and they would develop breast tumors. That's what Rife found. And I don't think the guy was a fraud at all.
No,
I've been always a big champion of Rife. But explain how that works.
Okay, first of all, again, it's the toxins. It's not germs. It's the toxin. When we are sick, we produce
toxins. So the toxin in the breast tumor that he would grind up is the problem.
Yes, correct. It's correct. Because, again, there are if a person who is a restaurant worker goes to the bathroom and doesn't wash his or her hands and contaminates the food, you can transmit food poisoning.
Oh, yeah.
But that's not from a germ. It's from the toxins. It's like saying, you know, when you have rotting garbage produces toxins. If you have a rotting animal, it will produce toxins. And the germs are there to clean up the toxins. They're not causing the decay. They are there to clean up the decay. But people have been so brainwashed into believing that it's the germs that cause the disease. Then why do we have 100 trillion bacteria in our colon that make vitamin B12, vitamin K, and are a third of our immune system? Those are bacteria.
Got it.
They're good. They're our friends. You
see,
they are there to clean up the mess.
the normal bacteria blamed for food poisoning.
E. coli.
There's a couple. But it baselines at E. coli. There's a couple of those.
Right.
Okay. So they're not the guilty party. There's a toxicity involved.
No, they happen to be there. They're like the firemen there at the fire.
Okay. All right. Understand. The illustration is very clear. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I got it.
Just because you're there does not mean you did it. So let's see
what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Here's another illustration. Now, there used to be plain old garden variety heartburn. Now they've made it into gastroesophageal reflex disease, okay? Well, here's what causes heartburn and GERD. It's just lack of water. That's it. Lack of water. Because here's what happens.
Now, Go ahead.
Okay. Your stomach produces hydrochloric acid in order to digest certain things like tough celery and certain other things, collagen and meat and things like that. Okay. Hydrochloric acid is a very caustic acid. It would eat a hole in your stomach if you didn't have some protection. So the body makes a very thick layer of mucus on your stomach lining, so the hydrochloric acid cannot get through. However, mucus is 98 to 99% water. If you don't have enough water in your body, you can't make enough mucus. How do we lose water? Number one, not drinking it. Number two, drinking coffee. Number three, eating animal products, which have no water in them. Fruits, grains, and vegetables do. By stress, decreases your water. So there are all sorts of ways we dehydrate our body. And so when you don't have enough water to make the mucus, then the hydrochloric acid hits your stomach lining, it contracts because it's painful, and it shoots it up to the base of your esophagus, which cannot tolerate that, and that's what causes heartburn. That's
very simple. Very simple.
And if you continue not to have enough water, it will eat through a stomach ulcer into your stomach lining. That's it.
Esophageal.
And Dr. Batman.
It'll eat through that too. It can.
Yes.
Sure.
Dr. Batman Gelage, who was a...
I was just going to ask you to... I couldn't remember his darn name. I had him on the program twice.
Yes.
He was a fabulous man. Tell the story about Dr. Batman Gelage. He was an Iranian doctor. He worked in a prison. Go ahead. Tell him.
Right. Well, he was in prison because he was part of the intelligentsia. And then he was told that he was going to be the doctor for that area of the prison. Well, he didn't have anything to use but water. And so that's when he discovered everybody was stressed because they were taking them out of the prison and shooting them. So everybody was stressed.
And they could hear them. They could hear it.
Yes, right.
Everybody on the inside heard these people being executed every day.
Right, right. So there was tremendous stress. And what he just found out, that if he gave these people large amounts of water, it would cure their painful stomach, which was heartburn, GERD, stomach ulcers, okay? And he wrote a book called The Body's Many Cries for Water, and he showed what dehydration does. Now, he was a wonderful guy. He was a friend of mine, but...
Oh, you knew him. How nice. How nice.
Oh, yes.
I was fortunate to have him on the program a couple times. Wonderful man. You're right.
Right. But he was a one-shot health addict, and that was just water. He didn't know about anything else.
Nothing else.
What he just found out about water was very exceptional and very important. So now the thing is, because the Helicobacter pylori bacteria is found in the ulcer, they say, it caused it. No. It was the dehydration and the lack of mucus and the hydrochloric acid that caused it. And the Helicobacter pylori is there to clean up the mess.
So the H. pylori is, again, an innocent victim.
Right. It's there. It's the fireman at the fire. It's the EMT. It's the vulture at the dead animal. It's the flies at the garbage pile.
Yeah. I wonder if this argument will ever settle down and be resolved one way or the other. It's kind of like the argument.
There's no argument. This is what it is. And I'll tell you why we know for sure. why we know for sure. Because you see, germs and genes don't cause disease. Disease is caused by the way we live, think, act, eat, and handle stress. Okay? So diseases are also not transmitted through the air. Everybody wants to have them transmitted through the air because then they don't have to take any responsibility for their own disease. Oh, I went to work and somebody came with a cold and sneezed on me and that's why I'm sick. No, that's not why you're sick. You're sick because of the way you're living, eating, and handling stress. Okay?
Stress? So here's who's under stress? What is that, stress? Nobody's under stress. Jeez.
The largest medical experiment that's ever happened in the history of the world involved 1 million subjects. 1 million. Okay? Uh-huh. Done 3,000 years ago when God brought the Israelites out of Egypt and took them through the wilderness for 40 years. The experiment went on for 40 years. Okay? They were all living very close together. They didn't have any modern sanitation like we have now. And so God gave them all these sanitation laws. And if you had a draining sore, you were unclean for a certain period of time, and this is what you had to do. If you touched a dead body and you got the toxins on your hands, you were unclean, and this is what you had to do. If you had to go to the bathroom, you had to bury it, and this was what you do. Okay. There are 549 texts in the Bible on sanitation laws for the Israelites. But not one of them is directed to protecting them from an airborne disease, because there aren't any.
Not one.
There are 549. I've read them all. I've counted them all. There's not one to protect them from an airborne disease.
Well, this is all revelatory. And fascinating, and the way you present it is so easy to understand. So I get people.
So there are so many lies about this pandemic. First, as your listeners well know, the PCR doesn't test for any virus. PCR only multiplies what is already there.
You think they killed Carrie Mullis? I do.
Oh yeah,
I think they got rid of
Carrie Mullis. Yeah, I think they did too. Now, the other thing is herd immunity does not exist. There's nothing about herd immunity. They want to scare you into thinking that a large percentage of the population has to be vaccinated for a vaccine to work. That's like saying if you wear a helmet when you're riding a bicycle, that it won't work unless 80% of all bicyclists wear the helmet. Okay? It's crazy. If vaccines worked, it doesn't matter whether anybody else is vaccinated or not. The problem is vaccines don't work, and they know that, and so that's why they come up with the lie of herd immunity to try to get you say, oh, well, it didn't work because not enough people got vaccinated. That's a lie.
It's just a blatant lie. Absolutely despicable. Yeah.
Right. The PCR does not work for testing. The CDC, as I said, has admitted that COVID-19 has never been isolated.
The antigen test doesn't even work either. That's another crappy one. Forget it.
Right. And just think about this. If you take antibiotics for any disease, that wipes out the good bacteria in your colon. Everybody knows that. So then
It's very hard to repair that. Some people say you can never fully repair a wiped out.
But you can. You can repair it because your body makes bacteria. The reason they say you can't, because they won't admit the idea that the body can actually make bacteria. And when a bacteria eats up what they call a virus, they say the virus infected the bacteria. The virus is nothing more than dead cell debris. It's just a piece of DNA that does nothing. See, the other thing is you have to decide how do you designate what is alive, and they have designated that anything that is alive, a microorganism that is alive, has to be able to reproduce itself on its own. Bacteria reproduce themselves on their own. Viruses do not. But they love the virus. Everybody loves the idea of a virus, which is a word just for toxins, and it doesn't even relate to a microorganism. But they say, well, viruses, are they living or are they not? Are they living or are they not? And so the evolutionists say, oh, this is the bridge from non-living things to living things on the evolutionary scale. That's how a rock can become a human being, see? Okay? So that's the evolutionists love viruses. People love viruses because then they can blame it on somebody else for giving it to them. And, of course, Big Pharma loves viruses because do you know how many viruses there are, they say? You can look this up on the Internet. There are a quadrillion viruses. A quadrillion. More than all the stars in the sky.
To the second power. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
But guess what they say? Only 219 of them cause disease. What? And how do you tell which ones cause disease?
That's crazy.
What?
All right. That's a crazy statistical absurdity. Yeah. All right.
Of course. This is all in my book. And this is what they say. But the whole point is they don't cause disease. We give ourselves disease. You can transmit diseases from toxins. If you have a draining wound or if you, again, contaminate your hands with waste material, you can transmit it on your hands, but not through the air. Not through the air. So, everything we have learned.
You're talking about not transmitting, you're talking about not transmitting viral or bacterial agents through the air. Okay. What about transmitting toxic issues through the air? What about transmitting proteins through the air?
No, maybe they don't go very far. They don't go very far. If you're even talking to another person, unless you spit on them.
I try not to do that anymore. Yes, I've given that up.
You can't transmit it through the air. Besides that, if viruses really cause disease, masks don't help because viruses are so tiny that they go right through a mask. They go right through a mask.
I know that. There's an argument about, it doesn't matter. I understand what you're saying.
It's all a scam. It's all a scam.
The biggest scam of all, though, is pharmakia. The idea that they're creating these deadly drugs and marking them up 50,000% over cost, and people take them, and then they end up with 10 or 15 side effects, which require 10 or 15 more drugs. Organized medicine has been genocidal from the beginning, from when they walked away from natural cures, natural therapies,
and
got into the big
pharma. And that occurred over 100 years ago, and it was squashed by the Rockefellers, because the Rockefellers owned Standard Oil, and they realized that drugs could be made from petroleum products, and so they squashed natural medicine. They even changed the way the buildings are built for hospitals, because when I was a resident and an intern at San Francisco General, we still had the old hospital that had the wings that came out. Each ward was a wing, and it was individual, and we had cross ventilation. We had windows that opened. We had a lot of sunlight. There was a solarium at the end of each place, and there was a swimming pool where people would have water treatments. All that is gone now. Mm-hmm. All that is gone because air and sunshine, fresh air and sunshine, are no longer considered important because they actually get you well, you see? And so they don't want any of that. They want only drug medicine. So this is an unbelievable transition that people don't know about because they were never around with the old kind of medicine. They were never around, and they think, oh, you just go and get a drug. But drugs don't cure disease. Drugs only treat symptoms. They never cure your disease. If you have high blood pressure, they tell you you have to be on this for the rest of your life. Why? Because it doesn't cure your problem. It only treats symptoms. It artificially brings down your blood pressure while it has all these adverse effects that you just talked about and gives you more disease.
Okay, let's switch over to your other book, which I think is a classic. It's been out for about a year now.
Yes.
This is the plan. And for those of you who like to mock people who investigate and research conspiracies, pay attention. It's all a conspiracy. Don't make any mistake about it. These people have conspired against us, for a long time, right?
Long time. And in the first chapter of that book, I have 13 roadmaps that they have written, the ones who are running this, they have written them to show exactly what they're going to do to us. And they're all available. Report from Iron Mountain. There's
about the protocols. Let's go back to
Zion.
We'll go back to the protocols. Sure.
Right. The protocols, they say they're going, and the Georgia Guidestones, which were just destroyed just recently, probably because people were starting to notice them, where they're going to reduce the population of the world to less than 500 million.
That's the plan.
That means they have to get rid
That's
of
the
7.5 billion people. That's right.
Now, do we need a needle ever put in our bodies?
No, nothing. Ever.
Thank you.
Ever.
Thank you.
Never. Right. No. We don't need antibiotics. We don't need drugs. We don't need vaccinations. Vaccinations don't prevent disease. By the way, when polio was a major problem way back in the 50s, one of the directors of health for one of the northeastern states, I think it was Michigan, he said, why is it that polio is more prominent in the summer? And he thought, maybe it's because everybody's eating sugar. So he was able to keep all the Pepsi and the Coke people out for the following summer and kept ice cream and all that out of the state. And the polio incidents dropped like a rock. Dropped like a rock because they were no longer eating sugar. But then the corporation said, we're not going to stand for this. And the next year they got back in and polio incidents went way up.
It had to do with sewage, too. They started cleaning things up.
Of course. The decrease in all childhood diseases and all that was because of the increase in sanitation, because of the better housing laws, and because of child labor laws. All these diseases that people were getting during the Industrial Revolution, they came way down by 95% before the introduction of any vaccinations because of the labor laws, child labor laws, and all that. Because children of ages 5, 6, 7, 8 were working in the mines for 14 hours a day at that time.
Coal mines.
Yes, there is an excellent book called Dissolving Illusions by Dr. Suzanne Humphreys, which shows this absolutely completely. She gives all the documentation for it. Vaccinations were not the cause of the decrease in these kinds of diseases. Nobody needs a vaccination for anything.
Okay, the current vaccination, which I will repeat, was not designed, not created, not tested, and that's a joke anyhow, and it was deployed to kill people. It's not a vaccine. It was never supposed to be a vaccine. It's all a lie. This is a death shot. And people who have, and I don't blame them, I feel sorry for them, they've been programmed to stare at that television screen. They think they're being informed, and all they're doing with that is to program people to literally kill themselves. That's what they're doing. They're committing suicide. And it makes me sick to say it. And a lot of these internet doctors, I'll get into more of that later, but they're liars. They just lie. They change their stories from week to week, some of them, and others. The worst, you know what, Lorraine, the worst lie to me is the lie of omission. I hate that. Yeah. I really do. It's just, it's evil. Anyway, lies are bad.
The other thing that's very important is for people to know that the test, when I saw that they started testing by putting those Q-tips to the posterior nasal sinus way back in your nose, I said,
oh, the cribriform plate. They're trying to get into your brain.
Something is bad. They're trying to get it into your brain. And so there's no need to ever do that because the same mucus is in your posterior nasal sinus is in the front of your nose and in your mouth. It's all connected. So they don't need to do that. This is evil, and they're implanting things in your brain because science has shown they've been for a long time trying to find how can they get antibiotics into the brain. Some antibiotics will not go into the brain unless you inject them into the spinal canal, which, of course, is moderately risky. And so they say, how can we do this without doing that? And they found out they could do it by putting it in the posterior nasal sinus. They could get it into the brain, and that's what they're doing.
Well,
they're putting things on those.
Those new swabs, they're not like a Q-tip. They're abrasive. They've got little spikes all over them, and they tear up the mucosa and make it real easy for whatever's there. They can introduce it that way. I tell people, if you have to get tested, and I would refuse anyway, but my job, I'll get fired. Take a new sealed box, small little box of Q-tips in and say, here, go ahead and test me. Use a Q-tip. These are sanitary. They're brand new. I will not have that thing in my nose. Why not?
Right.
Look at the label. Where is it made? China.
Right.
What's in it? Have you seen the materials online showing what's in these face masks, too? They warm them up and they put moisture on them, and then little black things start moving around. It's like Morgellons. The same. I think it's the same basic kind of thing. But take in a Q-tips, unsealed Q-tips, and say, here, go ahead, have at it. Do not put that up in the back of my nose.
No,
it should be an oral test.
There's no reason.
It should be an oral test. That's right.
Right. That's right. Because, again, that's where you get DNA. That's where you get the same, the same mucus is in your mouth that's in your nose. If people have a post-nasal drip, where does it go? It goes down their throat into their mouth. So the whole point is all of the mucus is the same, whether it's the back of your posterior nasal sinus, the front of your nose, or in your mouth. It's
Got
all
it.
The same.
Thank you. Very
so
good.
You're right that these are kill shots. They're meant to destroy your immune system. And all these people who are dropping dead, it's because of the shots. And the children, this is murder of children.
Horrible.
It's just
little
horrible.
This is, I can't. No, I really can hardly entertain that as a thought, and I have to see it. It is sickening, horrible.
But again,
when we turn on our children, we really give up the right to be called the sentient species of this planet. This is beyond belief.
Right, and yet everybody is so brainwashed to think that first of all, doctors know what they're doing. See, people don't realize that doctors develop cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, and every other disease at the same rate as the general population. Sometimes I've heard people say, well, you know, doctors know the cure for cancer, but they're not telling us. No, they don't. If they knew the cure for cancer, they wouldn't die from it. When I developed cancer 29 years ago, I thought, you know, I had all sorts of doctor friends who had already died of cancer. Doctors don't know how to cure cancer. Both chemotherapy and radiation cause cancer. They cause cancer.
Oh, how about a mammogram? How about a
mammogram?
How smart is that?
Good. Causes cancer, increases every mammogram a woman gets, increases her risk of breast cancer by 2%. So if she's getting one every 6 months.
It compounds. That's right.
She will have a 20% increase in her risk of getting the disease she doesn't want to get. But you see, a physical exam by a physician for a lump in your breast is just as effective as a mammogram, and it has no risk. Because a mammogram doesn't tell you whether the lump is cancer or not. You have to have a biopsy for that.
So let's go ahead and irradiate it and make sure it is, huh?
Well, the other thing is, so they use chemo and radiation, and then they use mutilating surgery. I developed breast cancer. I didn't have to be a rocket scientist to realize I didn't develop breast cancer because I had too many breasts. So cutting one or both of them off was not going to cure me. So people write to me and say, well, you know, I'm going to have my breasts off, and say, well, was your cancer caused because you have too many of them? Well, they never even think about that. That's crazy. We don't have too many organs. So cutting them off or cutting them out is craziness. We need to get them well because doctors work at the wrong end of every disease. They work at the wrong end of cancer because they're always trying to get rid of the tumor. Well, the tumor is not the problem. It is the sick body that has caused the tumor. You need to get the body well, just as I did. I changed everything about my life and got my body well, and then I deprived the cancer of what it needed to grow, and it died. That's what you need to do. Doctors are working at the wrong end of everything. They're working at the symptom end rather than at the cause end because doctors don't know what causes anything. And in fact, I show in the book that when I was a medical student, in the medical textbooks, they used it for every disease. The first thing was called etiology. Etiology means the cause. What is the cause? And mm-hmm. almost always it would be etiology unknown. Okay, the etiology unknown. Then they'd say the symptoms, and then they'd say what kind of tests you should do and what's the differential diagnosis and the treatment, and always, which is always drugs, of course. So I went to the medical school that's not far from me, and I got some books, some textbooks just recently, looking for what they say now. And it turns out that they leave the word etiology out completely because really? They don't know what causes anything. They leave it out completely.
Wow. Well, all you have to do is go into a supermarket and look at a mom with two or three kids and look at the cart she's pushing. Look at the poisons right. and toxins right. that she's going to feed right. those beautiful little girls. I mean, you've got right. two gorgeous granddaughters, and yes. I'm sure they're being
Who
raised
never
properly.
Been
no,
never been vaccinated.
No, 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 no. Yeah. This is hideous. All right, go to drday.com. It's a wonderful website, full of material. Lorraine doesn't hold back on it. She tells her story. She's got it all there. Marvelous books, marvelous most of your things are all DVDs anyway now, a lot of them.
No, I've got many books. I've got many books on health now. I made DVDs at the beginning, but then I started writing books because many people, I've got a book called I Will Give You Back Your Health Again, another one called What Does It Take to Get Well, another one called Getting Started on Getting Well. I've got many books on health now because when the electricity goes out, you'll be able to read a book during the daytime, but you won't be able to watch a DVD.
That's a good point.
So I'm getting prepared for all of that. But the whole point is that even in my book, Deliberate Destruction of America and the World, I show yeah. how there's lie upon lie upon lie. And they have actually been very forthright with saying what they're going to do to us. They have told us the 1963 January 10 congressional record lays it all out. It was put in the congressional record what the communists plan to do to our America, and it's virtually all been done already. And it's been there since 1963, and nobody takes note of it. There's a CIA training manual called Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars. Yeah. I've got a whole portion of that in there. It shows what they're going to do to us, mm-hmm. and they've done mm-hmm. it. And nobody takes notice. They don't even know that it's there.
Oh, they're lining up to get. The government with our money just bought another 105 million doses of the so-called vaccine, the bioweapon,
right.
and it's for the
right.
fall vaccine drive they're going to hold. And people are still taking this. They're still doing it.
Listen to this. This is very important for people to understand. If and your listener group are informed, they know that the government wants us dead. Okay? Now,
yep.
to inject everybody in their arm with poisons is a gigantic undertaking, everybody in the world, and that's what they're doing. If diseases were really transmitted through the air, then why don't they just let that happen? Why don't they let everybody just give each other disease and just get rid of people that way? But it doesn't. It doesn't happen, and they know it. And that's why they've got to inject everybody with a poison. It would be a lot easier to just let people give disease to each other. But it doesn't happen that way.
Okay, we spend a lot of time here on what they call shedding or horizontal transmission. And there are some very compelling stories about people who have been injected with this horrible biological weapon and what it does and the many different ways it has, pathways, to decertify life to the extent that you're dead. I mean, we're talking, you know, myocarditis, pericarditis, prion disease, and on, we could spend an hour listing it. It's not slowing down. There are people who simply go up and hug those who have been vaxxed, and they have a physical reaction, a rash, they get sick, some end up in bed,
book.
So there's something being, some toxin is being transmitted. I don't know what it is.
You would have to prove that to me. Because remember, way back 100 years ago, they were saying that scurvy was a transmissible disease because everybody got it. The sailors got it on the ship.
Okay? The limeys.
And so they, so they put limes on the ship and scurvy went away. It was a vitamin deficiency. The same thing happened with pellagra.
And vitamin C.
And Dr. Peter Duesberg proves in his book, about the AIDS, showing that HIV does not cause AIDS. And he gives an illustration of a Japanese fiasco where they thought a disease was transmissible. It was called SMON. And what it was, the people were just getting plain old garden variety flu, and they gave them this horrible drug, and the drug killed them. And it was the AZT and the drugs that, the recreational drugs that the homosexuals were taking, that was mainly the cause of their death, not the
poppers.
HIV.
Yeah.
Not the HIV, the poppers, the amyl nitrate and all that. And so this is what caused it. So when you say somebody hugs somebody and you know they're transmitting some disease,
it's much more diverse than that. But I'll if you want, I can send you some of these cases over. They're interesting reading.
I have read all these individual cases, but again, like Koch's postulates, they were the gospel in medicine for years. But they proved to be untrue. So
totally gone. That's interesting. I really didn't know that.
Yes, they're totally gone. So the whole point is you cannot transmit things through the air. If you have contaminated hands, if you have toxins on your hands and you put it in somebody else's mouth, then you've got a problem. But that usually doesn't happen. So the whole point, if people were shedding these things, so many people who have been vaccinated, that the unvaccinated would be sick too, but they're not. They're not.
One of the things about AIDS, which was we're looking at this now as a very serious issue, people no longer had any immunological competence, and they couldn't manifest symptoms for diseases they would get early on. So later on, the disease became pronounced. But these people don't have the ability now to manifest a fever or necessarily a runny nose or whatever the symptoms may be, because they've got no immune system. So they're carrying these things.
You have to prove that. You have to prove that the reason they're not showing symptoms is because they're sick and not because they're healthy. You have to show that. And that has to be done with a lot of experimental work. And that has not been done. The whole point is that's again, if a germ caused a disease,
toxin. A toxin. Let's just call it a toxin.
Toxins again are transmitted. Those are transmitted by the hands, not through the air. Not through the air. Just think about it again. We physicians, we surgeons, are only 18 to 20 inches from a patient's massive open wound, okay?
Yeah, I know.
We wear masks, and just so no spit will go into the wound, and that's enough protection. But if there were viruses, it would go right through it anyway.
Mm-hmm. No, it would be a problem.
See?
Sure.
So the idea that people have to be 6 feet apart and they're wearing masks is all ridiculous.
Well,
ridiculous.
I still do believe there's a place for masks in tight groups of people. I don't like to be around groups of people at all anymore. If I have to go in, I will wear a mask. It doesn't bother me for 15 or 20 minutes. I'm out of the store, it's off. Whatever it gives me, 5%, 10% protection, I'll take it.
Let me tell you this. When I go into a store, I could be in a huge group of people. I don't wear a mask. It doesn't bother me a bit. Not a bit, okay? Because I know how these things are transmitted and how they are not transmitted.
I've never known you to be sick except for the breast cancer. Never.
Yeah, that's right. And I got the breast cancer because of I was operating night and day as a trauma surgeon and never got any sleep.
Yeah,
I was drinking a lot of coffee.
I was
destroying my body. But once I learned how to eat, live, and handle stress, It's been 29 years. I have never been back to a doctor, ever. 29 years, and I never get sick. Never get sick. So
that's
the thing
amazing.
Is, and I go into large groups and close proximity, and I don't wear a mask, and I'm never right. sick. I don't get a cold. I don't get the flu. I don't get anything.
I'm aware. You know, the first time you were on this program was 29 years ago. You were on during the first year. We're in our 29th year now. Crazy.
It's amazing.
Lorraine, thank you. Thank you, friend. And it's great to hear from you as always. And you present things
so
clearly. You're welcome.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, Dr. Lorraine Dead. And I'm going to hear it all for you here so you can make up your mind better. We'll be back with much more in just a few minutes. Hold on tight.